College Football Week 1 reactions, NFL Week 1 preview, the New York Yankees continue to give me heartburn, and Patrick Cantlay wins the FedEx Cup. La Valley Sports Talk begins right now. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the La Valley Sports Talk podcast brought to you by the Sideline Network. As always, I am your host, Chris LaValle. Hope you all are doing well and staying safe. College Football Week 1 reaction. So let's kick it off with Ohio State University coming back and beating Minnesota 45-31. The number 4 ranked Buckeyes had quite a slow start in this game. Minnesota took an early lead, and they had the lead going into halftime. OSU made the necessary changes, came back out, kicked their ass in the second half like they should have. Number 19, Penn State beat the 12th ranked Wisconsin Badgers 16-10. So this game for me, it's annoying because going into the season, everyone was talking up Wisconsin. Wisconsin was going to be a team that could potentially contend with Ohio State for the Big Ten title. And this happens every year with Wisconsin. And it's only week one. So I understand that. I'm not trying to overreact on week one here. But everyone talks up Wisconsin every single year. And every year Wisconsin falters at some point in the season. Sometimes they'll start 4-0, 5-0, 6-0, whatever it may be. This year they're starting 0-1, so it really doesn't matter. But they're always, Wisconsin is always hyped up as this big gauntlet of a team that's going to be a tough out for anybody. And every year they always lose a game that they shouldn't lose. They should not lose to Penn State. Penn State's not that good. They're decent. I mean, I understand they're a top 25 team in the country, but they're not. No one is thinking Penn State's going to make it to the college football national championship game. Excuse me, college football playoffs, I should say. Wisconsin is a team that some people thought could contend with Ohio State at the end of the year. So I'm just so annoyed with the way people talk about Wisconsin every single year. It just gets old after a while. This next game was a huge win for UCLA. UCLA beat the 16th ranked LSU Tigers 38-27. A massive win for Chip Kelly, as UCLA is off to their best start with him at the helm. They're now 2-0 on the season. LSU is still looking for answers, and head coach Orgeron is not looking too good without Joe Burrow at the helm. He's got a winning coaching record with Joe Burrow, but without Joe Burrow, he's under 500. He's underwater without Burrow. So I don't know what the answers are here for him, because that defense has been, since the national championship run, they've been terrible the last 2 years, or year and a half, I should say. You know, they have a decent sophomore quarterback. Johnson looked decent, 3 touchdowns and a pick, but that defense is not good at all. And why LSU was even ranked 16 coming into the season, I'm not too sure. They did nothing last year to give you any type of confidence in them, or at least me any type of confidence in them. I understand they're in the vaunted SEC, so of course they're going to win favor with the coaches poll and the AP poll, and people are going to put them in the top 25. But the LSU Tigers could potentially be out of the top 25 by the 6th or 7th week of the season. Like, there's nothing about LSU that gives me any type of confidence that they're going to compete for any type of big game bowl this year at the end of the year. They're not good. They're certainly not contending for a national championship spot. That's not even going to happen. This next game was easily the biggest upset of the weekend, and that was Virginia Tech taking down the number 10th ranked North Carolina Tar Heels 17-10. This is a devastating loss for Mac Brown and his Tar Heels. Everyone, and I mean everyone I listened to, from Bill Simmons, Ryan Russillo, anybody on ESPN, as far as college football previews, everyone was talking up North Carolina like they were going to be the team that could potentially take down Clemson and make it to the college football national playoffs. They were going to be the potential team to face off against Clemson in the ACC title game, and they could possibly upset Clemson and get into the playoffs. Well, that's done. They're done. Not even close. I mean, they're going to have to go undefeated the rest of the season to have a chance to make it to the ACC title game. And even then, they're probably not going to make it. Even if they won the ACC title, I don't even know if they're going to contend for a national championship spot. I don't see how they're going to recover. Their schedule is not strong enough. And again, This is it's devastating of a loss because of how hyped up North Carolina was. Like, I can't express how many people talked up North Carolina. They were going to be the team to watch this season. And they start off the season 0-1. And I'm not trying to do this whole overreaction thing with all these different teams here, but a lot of these favorites got upset in week one, and maybe they shouldn't have been favorites. Maybe, you know, a lot of us are overhyping some of these college football programs too early, and we just need to sit back and allow, you know, wait a few weeks before we react one way or the other. But I cannot express. Go back if you want to read the articles, listen to some of the podcasts out there previewing this college football season, and everybody was on North Carolina. The one favorite that took care of business was Bama. Bama blew out Miami 44-13. Miami was 14th ranked, by the way. Why, I still don't know. Miami, once again, comes into the season completely overrated and gets absolutely obliterated by Alabama. And this might be the best Alabama defense, by the way, that Nick Saban has ever coached, which is scary when you think about all the great defenses Nick Saban has had over the years. And it's only week one. But who the hell is better than Alabama? I mean, Alabama looks like the stalwart of college football once again. They're going to be there at the end. They're likely going to win another national championship. I mean, it's kind of boring. I mean, you're looking at the Golden State Warriors here with Kevin Durant type deal, where it's kind of already a foregone conclusion as far as Bama's concerned. I mean, look, again, it's week one. We could see some other teams. You know, Ohio State could continue to improve. They could continue to get better. Maybe they'll be able to have a close game with Bama for the national championship. But it doesn't help that Clemson, who I'm going to talk about right now, lost to Georgia 10-3. And that was a defensive battle. Now, it's not that much of an upset. Georgia was ranked number 5. Clemson was ranked 3. This was a bigger game, a bigger win for Georgia than it was a loss for Clemson. Because going in, and I talked about how I didn't think Georgia, I talked about it last week, I didn't think Georgia had a chance to make it into the national championship picture because they always lose games like this. These are the type of games that Georgia can never seem to win. And they finally did. So Georgia could hang around. I'm not so big on their quarterback. He's okay. So I still have some questions about their offense, but their defense looks tremendous. And if Georgia's defense is going to look like this the rest of the season, then yeah, Georgia's going to be formidable. And when they play Alabama later on in the year, that's going to be the game of the college football season right there, of the regular season anyway. That'll be the game to watch. Clemson's new quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei, I believe is how you say his name, he struggled mightily, and he couldn't get anything going. Now, I keep saying this, it's week one. We'll see how he progresses. You're coming off of having a once-in-a-generation talent in Trevor Lawrence. So there is going to be a fall-off there, somewhat of a fall-off. But only scoring 3 points on a Dabo Sweeney type of offensive juggernaut team, to say that it's a surprise would be an understatement. It's a little alarming, and Clemson's going to have to win out the rest of the way, and they're going to have to blow out some really good teams if they're going to be there at the end. I mean, again, they're in the ACC. It's not like they're in the SEC, so their strength of schedule is not all that great. They do have some out of conference games that should help, but Clemson's in a deep trouble. And the fact that North Carolina lost, too, that's the other thing. North Carolina losing hurts Clemson. They're both in the same division. And the fact that would be, so if North Carolina went into the ACC championship game undefeated, Clemson only has one loss at the end of the season, and Clemson was to beat North Carolina, that would guarantee them a spot in the playoffs, no question, because they would have beaten an undefeated team, won their conference title, and that's pretty much an automatic bid in. But the fact that North Carolina lost now, it just makes Clemson now has an uphill battle the rest of the season. All right, so real quick before I move on to the NFL here. Games to watch this weekend, we've got 11th ranked Oregon against number 4 Ohio State. That should be an interesting interconference game. Now, Oregon lost last weekend. Hopefully Oregon can get it back a little bit, make that a decent game. Iowa and Iowa State, 18th ranked Iowa at number 7 Iowa State. That's obviously an interstate rivalry game. That'll be cool. Stanford at USC, that's always a great rivalry game. USC is 15th ranked. Real quick on USC, also on UCLA. The Pac-12 had a terrible weekend. The only two teams that haven't lost yet, USC, UCLA. All the other big teams, Oregon lost last weekend, Washington lost last weekend. USC and UCLA are the only hopes for the Pac-12 to have any type of relevance this season if they want to try and finally make it into the national championship picture. The best case scenario is for one of those teams to be undefeated at the end and win the Pac-12 championship. They may finally actually get in because UCLA is going to have a pretty decent strength of schedule. I'm not too sure about USC overall. I don't know who their interconference games are aside from playing. They always play Notre Dame every year. So depending on how good Notre Dame is this season, that would help if USC is undefeated and is able to beat a top-ranked Notre Dame team. Plus, like I said, I'm not too sure who else they have in their interconference. But at the end of the day, the Pac-12's, all their hopes are riding on USC and UCLA. All right, let's move on to some NFL talk. All right, so NFL Corner is back. I'm going to do a quick introduction of what's the same and what's different this year, and then we'll get right into it. So NFL Corner Part 1 this year is going to be exactly the same as it was last year. I'm going to give you my reaction to the previous week of the NFL season, what I liked, what I didn't like, how I'm evaluating the teams, the players, all that good stuff. Week 2 is where things are going to be a little bit different. I'm still going to give you the 4 games that I think you should watch for the season. However, this year, I'm bringing in some gambling odds. Now that it's legal to do some sports betting in Connecticut, I think it'll be a little bit more fun. I'm going to keep track, obviously, of how well I do against the spread. And, you know, if you're interested in doing some sports gambling and you live in Connecticut or you live in a state that happens to do sports betting, you should definitely do it. Try it out if you're interested. I think I'm excited to try it out anyway. I've never really been able to. I've only ever done like DraftKings and stuff like that. But now to actually be able to use like FanDuel or Barstool Sports or whatever it may be and actually bet on the spreads of games, I think that's going to be a good time. So that's the game plan. The other thing is I didn't do a NFL preview on this particular pod. On the last episode of Richo and Lala, we had Matt Daniela come on and the three of us gave our predictions of the division winners, our MVP picks, and our Super Bowl predictions as well. So you can check out all of my NFL predictions off of that pod. I'm not going to repeat what I already said on there. So again, you can check out Richo and Lala. The latest episode, it says it's titled NFL Preview 2021. Check that out. You'll hear exactly where I think all the teams are going to be. And with that, let's get right into the 4 games that I think you should pay attention to this week. All right, so before I get into the 4 games to watch this week, I am going to touch on the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Dallas Cowboys. I record this on Wednesday. It comes out on Friday, so obviously this game's already going to be dead and buried by the time that this podcast comes out and reaches you. So really, me picking this one isn't going to count towards anything because, well, I'm just not going to hold myself accountable for this game. But if I was a betting man and I was going to bet the Dallas Cowboys and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it is the Buccaneers are favored by 8. I would take the Cowboys plus the 8. So take the Cowboys and the points. Tampa Bay is going to win the game, but I don't think they're going to win by 8 points. I would say Tampa Bay will win by like 5 or something. I think it's going to be a close game. I do. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to blow out the Cowboys in the first week of the season. Maybe they will, but I'm hoping Prescott's arm is somewhat healthy right now and that the Cowboys are going to be able to hang in there. So again, I would take the Cowboys and the points. Okay, moving forward. First game I want to talk about is the Seahawks at the Colts as it stands right now. And I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that we don't know who the hell the quarterback is going to be for the Colts. If Carson Wentz is going to be out of COVID protocol at that point in time, the Seahawks are favored by 2.5 and they're going to Indy. I'm taking Indy in this game. I think Carson Wentz is going to play. I like the Indianapolis Colts better than I like the Seattle Seahawks. On the Rich and Lala podcast, I talked about how I don't think Seattle is going to make the playoffs. Look, I'm taking the Colts and the points. They're at home. I think this is between the two games, the first two games, they have to play Seattle this week. They have to play the Rams next week. They're going to Los Angeles next week to play the Rams. I think the Rams are the arguably the best team in football this year. I think the Colts are going to lose next week. I think the Colts have to win this game. So this way they start their season 1-1, not 0-2, which is a huge difference for them. I'm taking the Colts and the points plus 2.5. I think the final score will be something in the range of 24-21 Indianapolis. Then that brings me to the Steelers at the Bills. This game is going to be a lot of fun. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game for both teams. I know that the Bills have a decent defense, but the Steelers have an incredible weapons on offense. Pittsburgh right now is, or I should say the Buffalo Bills are favored. They're at a 6.5-point favorite against the Steelers. I would take the Steelers plus 6.5 on this game. I think, like I said, I think it'll be a high scoring game, but I think it's going to be about a three point type of game. I don't think the Bills are going to I just think it's too high. That's way too high for me. So like I said, I would take the Steelers plus 6.5. I would take the Bills to win the game. I think it'll be somewhere around 30-27 Buffalo. I think Buffalo is the best team in the AFC this year. I think the Bills will win the football game, but I think the Steelers will keep it close. So like I said, I would take the points and the Steelers in this game. Like I said, final score 30-27. The next game is, in my opinion, the game of the week, and that's the Browns at the Chiefs. And as it stands today, I'm trying to find the line here. The Cleveland Browns are a 6-point underdog against the Kansas City Chiefs. I gotta say, take the Browns. Take the Browns and the points, guys. Take the Browns and the points in this game. I think if Cleveland is going to make a statement, this is the game to make. I think the Browns win this football game. I think the Browns are going to shock the Chiefs. They're going to shock the NFL world, and they're going to beat the Chiefs in week one. Again, this is the same football team that almost upset the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs last year. Baker Mayfield completely melted down in that fourth quarter. Absolutely fell apart. But that was the first time he was ever in a game-winning situation. If Baker Mayfield is going to be the quarterback that I predicted he would be years and years ago in the NFL draft. Now, I got crushed on Richo and Lala. Both Rich and Matt went after me and was like, you have pancaked on Baker Mayfield. You were the one who was favoring Baker Mayfield going into the draft, and you have completely killed him the last couple of years. You've completely pancaked him. And they're absolutely right. I have completely changed my mind on Baker Mayfield. But if Mayfield is the quarterback that I believed he could be, this is a game he has to win. He has to prove everybody, including me now, who is a doubter of him, wrong. This is the game to do it. So I'm going to take the Browns and the points, and I think the Browns get the upset in this game, 24-21 Cleveland. And the final game that I have this week is the Monday Night Football game, Ravens at the Raiders. Right now, the Ravens are 4.5-point favorite, according to Caesar Sportsbook. I like the Ravens here. I think the Ravens are a playoff team. I like the Browns to win the division, but I think the Ravens and Browns are going to be like a one game apart type deal. The Ravens are definitely a playoff team. The Raiders are not a playoff team. Now, there have been podcasts that I've listened to where there are some people who like the Raiders. Like I listened to Bill Simmons' pod the other day. They had he had his over and unders and all that other betting nonsense with Cousin Sal. Sal likes the Raiders. He said that he thought the Raiders were a playoff team. I don't know why. Yeah, Carr's got some decent weapons on offense, but that defense is not good, or at least it doesn't look like it's very good. The Raiders could surprise some people. They do have a tendency to win early, and then they just completely fall apart the second half of the season. We've seen that the last couple of years. Gruden starts off really strong, and then the team just falls apart, and they lose a lot of close games later on in the season. So maybe the Raiders can start off strong and maybe contend for a wild card. I don't know. I personally think they're going to be the worst team in that division, which is a very tough division. You have the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos. All three of those teams could be potentially playoff teams. I mean, the Chiefs and the Chargers, I think, are guaranteed playoff teams. I think the Broncos are going to surprise some people, even with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback. They could contend for a wild card. The Raiders, I just don't see. So, again, to bring it back to this week, not to go fully long-winded here about how terrible I think the Raiders are. So, I would take the Ravens to win this football game outright. I think they're going to win by about 10. So, I'd say the final score will be something like 30-20. So, to recap real quick, I've got the Colts over the Seahawks, the Bills over the Steelers, the Browns upsetting the Chiefs, and the Ravens over the Raiders. Again, the win-loss thing I will keep track of, but I'm also going to keep track of how I do against the spread as well. So we'll have those two competing things, and we'll see how well I do when we reconvene NFL Corner next week. my God, this Yankee team is infuriating to root for. I'm the idiot, by the way. I'm the stupid one. I am the subject of everything is stupid this week because I swore off this team. I said, I'm not going to root for them. I can't stand them. I didn't like all the moves Brian Cashman made at the trade deadline. And then they won 13 straight. And I sat back and I went, okay, I'm still not a big fan of what happens. But look, I like Rizzo. I like some of the players that they did acquire. I wasn't the biggest fan of all of them, like Gallo, but it's okay. It's nice to see this team win. Maybe they'll actually come together and make a decent playoff run. And then after winning 13 straight, they win two of their last eight. And all of a sudden, which I said I feared, was that all of a sudden we weren't going to be able to hit. And sure as shit, that's exactly what happened. Our last two games alone against Toronto, we've scored a total of one run. We got blanked on Monday, and we lost last night 5-1. We scored during our losing streak of 8 out of 10 here. We've had 1, 2, 3 games where we've scored more than 3 runs. 3 games where we've scored more than 3 runs and we lost the majority of them. We've had 4 games where we scored more than 3 runs. We won 2 of them and then we lost the other 2. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to feel about this team anymore. I do know how I feel about this team. I hate this team. I can't stand this team. What am I saying? I just don't know how to feel about the rest of this season. I don't know if I'm supposed to root for them to lose, hoping that there is change, like we fire our manager and we hopefully put some sort of fire under Brian Cashman's ass, or what to do. The remainder of this season, we still have 2 more games against Toronto, which is, we'll finish out this homestand. And then we're against the Mets. We should beat them. The Mets suck, but there's no guarantee that. We have 1 game against Minnesota, which we'll win because we own the Twins. Then we have 3 games against Baltimore. And I would say, hey, you know, that should be a pretty good sign for us. We have to play Baltimore. But we just lost 2 straight to Baltimore the other day. They took 2 out of 3 from us. That was the series prior to this Toronto series. Then we have 3 against Cleveland. We should beat Cleveland. We have 3 against Texas. We should beat Texas. Then we have 6 games split between Boston and Toronto at the end of the month. And to me, those games are going to determine whether or not we make the postseason. Because if we don't win at least 2 games against Boston, we're in a world of hurt because I don't know if we're going to be able to beat Toronto. Because Toronto right now is surging. Toronto is 9-1 in their last 10. They've won something like 7 or 8 straight. They're on fire right now. And they're peaking at the right time. See, this is what I was afraid of with the Yankees, was that they were peaking way too early. And I was an idiot, and I got excited, and I was like, hey, look, maybe I'm wrong about the Yankees. I shouldn't have been so hard on them. I was sitting back and reflecting and going, hey, you know, maybe some of the moves that Cashman made, maybe I have to give him a little bit of credit. No, I was right the whole time. I should have just understood, sat back and went, LaValle, you're right more times than you're wrong when it comes to the Yankees. You should just sit back and just watch it fall apart. And that's exactly what's happening now, is it's falling apart. This team, like I said, in the open, it gives me heartburn. This team just drives me nuts. This season has been terrible. I can't express the roller coaster ride that I have been on this entire time. And I think any Yankee fan would tell you this, that this team, these streaks are just, they're insane. And it's hard not to be a fan and sit there and go, hey, we have a 13-game winning streak. We have the longest winning streak we've seen in almost 4 years in baseball. We had the longest winning streak all season this year. Up to this point, we've had the longest winning streak. Maybe Toronto's going to top that. I don't know. But I don't know what else to do with this team. I don't know what else to say. I am just... This team is driving me nuts. I want this freaking baseball season to end. I can't stand it anymore. At this point, like I said before, I'm going right back to what I had said a few weeks back. I hope we miss the playoffs. I want the season to be over. I want to enjoy the postseason without this type of heartburn, without this indigestion that I feel constantly watching this baseball team. It is driving me crazy. Okay, rant over. Let's talk about Patrick Cantlay winning the FedEx Cup. So Patrick Cantlay is your 2020-2021 FedEx Cup champion, outlasting John Rahm. He finished at 21 under. John Rahm finished at 20 under in second place. Justin Thomas finished at fourth in 15 under. Xander Schauffele tied for fifth at 14 under. Dustin Johnson was eighth at 11 under. And let me see, where's my boy Jordan Spieth? He was somewhere around here. I believe he finished. Yeah, he finished tied for 20th at 4 under. So Cantlay wins the FedEx Cup, which is huge. Dude wins $15 million. It's crazy. Life-changing money right there. Dude won $15 million. Let's talk about the end of this kid's season, all right? This dude, a week prior, won the BMW Championship, came back to win that, won in that playoff against Bryson DeChambeau, which was awesome, after DeChambeau was bitching about how Cantlay was, pissed him off at some point. And once again, DeChambeau, by the way, finished seventh at 13 under. Dude walked away with $1.3 million. So, I mean, good for him. But anyway, Patrick Cantlay, 17 top 25 finishes in 23 events this year. He ranked first in scrambling at 67.66%, and he had the fifth best scoring average throughout this season with a 69.8 scoring average. Like, this kid was on fire near the end of the season, and good for him. I mean, again, anytime you can walk away with $15 million, especially at his age, young kid, and he's right there in the conversation with all the other young guns out there. And I never gave Cantlay the credit that he deserved. I completely overlooked him. So I can't even take credit and say, hey, this is one of the guys that I told you to look out for. Completely overlooked him. I kept telling you Xander Schauffele, keep watching Koepka, keep watching Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy. But I completely overlooked Cantlay, and I shouldn't have. And the fact that he is now at the top of his game makes me so excited for April and for the Masters. I can't wait. There's like going to be 10 to 12 golfers that are going to be in the conversation of favorite to win that tournament. I mean, think about it. You have Cantlay. You have Rahm. You have Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, Tony Finau, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Brooks Koepka, and the list goes on. Colin Morikawa. You have all of these young guys, relatively young guys. You know, I think Dustin Johnson's the oldest in that conversation. And what is he, like 31, 32? I mean, these guys are young, and they're hungry, and they're good, and they're winning tournaments. And that's what we need without Tiger. Now, do I think it would help if some of these guys rattle off a few in a row, like start rattling off a couple majors in a row? Do something like Koepka had done for a while there, where he was winning the PGA, he was a reigning PGA championship, won that 2 years in a row, something to that extent. Sure, absolutely, that would be great. But if we can get a consistent top, let's say, 5, 6, 7, 8 players that are just rotating and constantly winning tournaments, that is what we need for golf to continue to thrive. And the numbers are up. People are watching more golf. I mean, we saw it during 2020, during the pandemic, and I think that's because it was one of the only sports that was being played and that was being televised at the time. So they took advantage of what they had, but we still saw the numbers continue to rise this year in 2021. So people are obviously taking notice. Golf seems to is starting to have this rejuvenation, and it's just awesome. So good for Patrick Cantlay. He is a obviously a golfer to watch moving forward, and I think that he is he's a good ambassador for the game. So it's going to be a lot of fun moving forward. And like I said, you can check him out in the Ryder Cup, which is coming up, and he's on the team along with DeChambeau and Koepka, and I believe Xander Schauffele is also on there. So that'll be a tournament to watch. But like I said, I cannot wait for April and the Masters, man. It's going to be awesome. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's edition of the podcast. As always, thank you so much for taking the time to tune in and listen. I greatly appreciate it. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And enjoy week one of the NFL season. We'll be back next week to break it all down. And that is it. That's all I have for you this week. I hope you all be well and stay safe. Talk to you all again soon.